You know, just enough to sort out the wheat out from the chaff bag brigade.
This sort of thing ain't my bag, baby.
Yes, these venomous and vitriolic posts are all over the internet. There's a lot of hate out there. The 2GB website's a good place to find them as well. Talk radio really does encourage these people, doesn't it? On immigration, Anthony from Port Kennedy. Why on earth is Australia pussyfooting around with these illegal parasites? For goodness sake, if this was America, these welfare drains would be shot trying to cross their borders. Is that what they're doing in America now? Is there any politician out there that's got the balls to suggest tearing up this outdated refugee agreement and thus putting an end to these non-Christian invaders? Just look what's happening to Britain and the rest of Europe, who have their welfare systems, their economies are destroyed through too much immigration. And another one, Owen Webb says, Julia Gillard is a liar because she doesn't have any ears. Is that true? I never noticed that. Not that it matters, of course. I mean, you can say anything on the internet where there's so much venom and hatred. Is it any wonder that Charlotte Dawson landed in hospital after becoming the target of internet trolls? Now, to explain more about internet trolls, where they live, what they eat, and how do they procreate as well when they're, you know, spending all their time on the internet? And more importantly, the question of who is Charlotte Dawson anyway? Well, I'm joined by Stilgarian, podcaster on the technology site ZDNet, writer for Crikey, and now, of course, the technology correspondent for Balls Radio.
That's the ultimate title, really.
Exactly.
Isn't it,
highlight of your career thus far, isn't it?
Still yes. So, I think we need to attack the big issue first, I think.
Well, who's Charlotte Dawson?
What is Charlotte Dawson? Yes. And look, I actually had to look her up because when this whole story exploded, look, it's very sad. And I don't wish to kind of make light of the fact that here was someone who felt that she was so harassed that a suicide attempt was the next step, and that's obviously tragic. And in fact, Australia continues to have a really big problem with people attempting suicide. So I don't want to kind of make light of that, but you know, her claim to fame is that she was a model from New Zealand and got on the telly, and she is a judge on Australia's Next Top Model, which I've never heard of, and a host of something called the Contender Australia, which I've heard even less of. So
it's just an opportunity for us both to show how out of touch we are with popular culture, isn't it, really?
Well, you know, a certain kind of popular culture. There's other kinds of popular culture. There are, in fact, many popular cultures, plural, I think. And there is certainly evidence to suggest that the popular culture that consists of sitting down in front of whatever, you know, dressed up turd is on front of your television camera. I mean the program, not the people on it, obviously.
So, no, of course not.
It's really lowest common denominator rubbish. And now that we have more and more channels and the internet brings us an infinite number of channels, you know, there's only a finite amount of production money. And so we get this drivel.
So why was Charlotte Dawson, why was she getting all these attacks on Twitter and the like? What is it she done to prompt these internet trolls to suddenly decide that they were going to join forces and go against her?
Well, that's kind of a $64,000 question, because at one level you think that, you know, and I want to stress too, trolls and bullying are different things. If I can just make that point, that the word trolling on the internet, being a troll, was about provoking people into making a reaction, but it came originally out of sense of fun and of binding together a community. So that if the community was, I don't know, about Windows computers, you know, you'd have a Mac, someone coming on to talk about how their Mac was so much better and blah, blah, blah.
So just staring a little bit.
Staring, which we call it.
Yeah, know, which I've been known, I think.
Poking the possum, you know, yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Which I'm sure you have done and I have done on many occasions in the interest of entertainment.
Absolutely. And, you know, anyone hosting a talkback radio program, writing a newspaper column, it's to provoke people into thought. And sometimes it's done, you know, with that sense of really putting what on the surface is an outrageous idea to promote a reaction just to cause people to think. So, you know, you just say something like, look, you know, the only people on public transport during the day are people without a job and old age pensioners. So, you know, why are we wasting all that money on trains during the day? We should just run them in rush hour.
And how did those old age pensioners get jobs as train drivers anyway? Yeah, they're all important questions, aren't they? But
really what we're talking here is bullying, and really nasty bullying. And in the old school internet language, that was called flaming, you know, turning up the flamethrower. But I think we're stuck with it. The media has decided that trolling is now a synonym for bullying on the internet. So there we are. Now, there are a couple of communities of trolls, if you like, people who take delight in picking on people to provoke a reaction, and indeed to get this precise kind of media reaction. Now, one is an infamous site called 4chan, the numeral 4, C-H-A-N, .com, it would be. And if you then put /B/ after that, don't try to go here from your work computer.
Well, where are you taking us?
It's 4chan.org. No, don't go there. Because this is a community of, one assumes, mostly young people, and one assumes mostly male, where they're swapping just... Oh, you know, there was that thing a few weeks ago where all of those really bad anti-Aboriginal jokes ended up on a Facebook page, and Facebook ended up taking it down and it cropped up somewhere else. Those kind of images have been around for ages, and 4chan is where they are circulated, or one of the places. Now, in a sense, there's nothing new here. Teenage boys have reveled in passing around outrageous jokes. It's just that now, like every other kind of human activity, it's up there on the internet for others to see. Now, there's another group called 9gag, 9gag.com, which is another of these passing around these images with slogans on it and trying to be more outrageous. And they're deliberately sexist, racist, obscene, whatever it is, just to really... It's kind of the way you work your way up in the pecking order in these kind of communities is by being even more outrageous than the previous one.
But so long as the audience for that is just themselves, I mean, you know, they're idiots for doing it, but so long as the audience is just themselves, and hopefully they're going to grow out of it, that is different, isn't it, to having attacks that are, like someone, you know, can have a verbal attack at me, just so long as they don't keep on doing it to my face. You know, I mean, good luck to them.
Or if you're like, you know, we're online, so people will criticize us, and we, you know, you and I have both written stuff that's occasionally, I'm sure, triggered and out, you know, a completely over-the-top response from someone calling us, you know, beyond calling us an idiot, you know, or whatever it might be. But you see, this is the sort of hyperbole we get. We have Alan Jones suggesting that the Prime Minister be, you know, put in a chaff bag and tossed out.
Well, so this is it.
I
mean, so talk radio is just as bad as anything which is on the internet, possibly even worse. But bullying where you're actually... whether it's Charlotte Dawson or whether it's a kid at school who is being cyberbullied, who's getting messages sent to them, often anonymous messages, all the time, relentlessly. I mean, that is an issue, isn't it? And I wonder whether...
Oh, absolutely.
I wonder whether...
But that's bullying. It's nothing to do with the internet as such.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have... 20, 30 years ago at school, they would have been bullied by people leaving notes in their sports locker.
Yeah, but at least you got home and you went, you know, it's consistent, I guess, as long as your mobile phone's turned on. But I also wonder whether part of the issue is this whole question of being able to remain anonymous. And, you know, it's people are always going to be much bolder, aren't they, if you don't know who they are. And isn't that one of the problems of the internet?
No. They're not bolder because we don't know who they are. They're bolder because they're not getting any of the signals that say that this is unacceptable behavior. And I know that's kind of the same sort of thing. It's you feel safe if you're at a computer because you don't have the person right in front of you, and you don't have all of those body language signals and other signals, or that all their friends around, that, you know, in a face-to-face social situation, you would feel the situation becoming awkward and people glaring at you, and you might back down. It's not so much anonymity, but as I say, the not being able to kind of
read the signs,
be punished for it or something, you know, and read the signs. So, you know, this we've had this there, and even sensible people like Lee Sales, the presenter of ABC 7:30 on the TV.
The new thinking man's bit of crumpet, I must say.
I'll let that comment hang in the air because this is, I thought, a classier program than perving on television presenters. Well, Charlotte Dawson is not your thinking man's crumpet. No, I just said we're not going to go there, and then I'm going.
Not as much as Lee Sales. Anyway, move on.
She's taller. The thing is, we start seeing calls for...
totally thrown you by that remark, haven't I?
It has. But to stick with the topic, the idea that you can't say anything in a social situation unless you register and tell us who you are strikes me as absolutely bizarre. And I think the problem here is a lot of people calling for that are people who are professional media people, and they've got in their head this idea that when you put something on the internet, it's publishing it, and we're responsible, special capital J journalist publishing people, and we know how to do this sort of thing responsibly, and all these terrible ordinary people now are saying things on the internet, and we need to know who they are. And there's a bit of hypocrisy there. I mean, there are many reasons why in the day a newspaper would have published an anonymous letter. Lots of reasons. It might be that the person would have some sort of retribution for saying it because they're revealing information that would identify them and so on. I'm going to ignore that telephone and put that away there.
It sounds very nice, though. It's a very nice-sounding telephone you've got there.
It's lovely, yes. Mm. Yes, it's all very civilised.
In that example you gave, though, about with when you have a newspaper and they publish something from someone who's anonymous, the newspaper editor still knows who it is. I mean, I think they might not publish the name and address, but they're saying, well, okay, you can stand on your word, and we've got someone to go back to if you're not being entirely honest on all matters. So there's still some sort of recourse there.
It is, and at one level, we connect to the internet through an internet service provider or a mobile telephone provider, and they at least know who organized buying that account and who's paying the bills. So to say that we can't ever know who these are is a little bit of a furphy, though that said, there are technologies to make it quite difficult for you to be tracked down on the internet. But again, I think why there's this whole emphasis on demanding to know who these people are, when at any point in this entire exercise, the participants can walk away if they're feeling harassed. And there is evidence starting to emerge. Admittedly, it's kind of people talking about this whole battle that in this particular case, Ms. Dawson may have kind of been encouraging the trolls a bit herself.
Right.
Well, now
she was staring. She was staring the pot.
Well, but, you know, and again, that's not a defence for the kind of level of stuff she was facing. I mean, I'll read out a few of the tweets she was getting. Please put your face into a toaster. Die, Charlotte. Freedom of speech. You F word bimbo. Go kill yourself. Please do the world a favour. Go hang yourself. Go kill yourself. You F whore.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, that's
And we don't know who they come from. I mean, they could be. And look, you know, I'm sitting on the fence on this one, and this would shock a few people because they would imagine I would be the bastion of free speech. But I do wonder about, with all this talk at the moment about how there should be more powers for law enforcement agencies to be able to rifle their way through the vast volumes of data that they want telecommunications companies to hold, so they can go look back and see what somebody has been saying or who they've been communicating with. I think that's pretty abhorrent. I mean, that can go too far.
And the one
way of avoiding that happening is that there's more visibility sort of above the surface. So we can, you know, if there was a clearer way for us to be able to identify people on the internet in real time, then the law enforcement agencies wouldn't need to do all that sort of tracing back to try and find out who people are.
You're right, but I mean, that is an argument. And it's a very powerful argument, but I'll flip the other way around. It's like saying, if we want to stop crime happening in the streets, then everyone should have a T-shirt with their name and address written on it.
What a bloody good idea.
Oh, you go, ooh, they're hot. I'll round to their place later. And there I am making light of it again. But,
yeah, but, well, you know, it's a fair
this
point.
This is I think, at the absolute core of the revolution that is the internet. It is changing the power relationship of every aspect of communication throughout society. And that's obviously creating problems, you know, between police and criminals, criminals and their victims, parents and children, the whole thing. This is, and we've got to find the new balance. Now, the balance that we have up until now between the police being able to access our communications and us citizens having a certain amount of privacy and protection from potential misuse by the police of that power, that kind of balance took decades, I mean a century really, as the telephone was unfolded or unrolled across society, for us to kind of look, what are the rules here? It really has to be something serious before the police can just start listening to our phone calls.
Absolutely.
And even then, only the police officers who were involved in that case are allowed to access that material. And if any other police officer attempts to kind of look at it for any other reason, well, they're in serious trouble.
Yeah.
Now, the kind of proposal, and it's interesting in the news today, that Federal Attorney General Nicola Roxon appears to have changed her mind. This idea that all of the metadata should be recorded for 2 years, that is, a list of every website you visit, your IP address at the time, your location if you're on a mobile phone, how long you accessed that site, and so on and so forth, should be kept for 2 years. The thing is, compared with telephone calls, even someone using the telephone very heavily might make, you know, a couple of dozen phone calls a day.
Yeah.
Let's pick a number like that. But someone who's using the internet for communication and organizing their life is dealing with a lot more stuff than that. It's equivalent to recording the title of every magazine you picked up and how many minutes you spent reading it, which shops you went to, which shops you even browsed in, everyone you communicated with about everything, exactly which pub you went to and when and how long you stayed there, all kept for 2 years on the off chance that it might come in handy to deal with a crime later. It seems to me a big change in the balance of power.
Yeah, and it's scary. Look, and we can talk about that more in a later edition of the program, I think, because we are running out of time today. But it is scary in terms of how much information you can provide and who has control over that.
Indeed, and I think if we can end perhaps on a positive note about
that would be
holding
good.
People,
we've never
people
tried always, that before. Always willing to try new things, still going.
Well, we always have these calls for locking down everything on the internet when something bad happens. But we should look at all the massive amount of really good things that happen on the internet. People being able to raise money for good projects from complete strangers very quickly. I mean, one of the amazing things that happened to me about 18 months ago is a cat became very ill and we were clocking up thousands of dollars of vet bills. And complete strangers paid for them all. I think I got more than $4,000 just flowed in to pay the $4,000 of vet bills. And sometimes it was, you know, people that I knew who were, you know, had a decent job and would send $100 or $200. But I was amazed that just complete strangers who were students sending like $10.
Wow.
Just. You know,
and there was a sick cat, wasn't there?
There was.
This wasn't a Stilgarian internet scam. Sounds like a pretty good one to me.
No, sadly, it was very real. But the vets told me that's not the first time it's happened either. That they've had people who, you know, haven't been able to pay, and again, just those wonderful things called human beings just made it all happen.
Well,
so
still,
that's great.
That is good. And I think there's lots of other positive examples. Look, we've sorted out, we've been talking for a while, but we've sorted out a few things. We know who Charlotte Dawson is now. We know the real definition of internet trolls. We've questioned the, whether you should be visible on the internet or not. And we've talked about sick animals. I think we've ticked all the boxes we need to cover. Still going?
I think so. No dental care this week.
No dental care this week. We'll come back to that next week. Good to talk.
As always, Phil. See you next time.
He can talk, can't he? Must be time for bed by now, surely.